Matthew, the 13th chapter, details a number of parables that Jesus spoke during his earthly ministry. According to Kittle, parables were a way of teaching that compares two things from different fields in order to explain the unfamiliar by means of the familiar. Thayer refers to parables as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This was a common way of teaching used by Jesus. Here, actually, in Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17, Jesus explains why he spoke in parables. We like to begin reading in verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" This is an indication that some have brought up this may have been some of the first times that Jesus actually taught with parables, because the disciples seem surprised that he is speaking to the crowds, the multitudes, this way. Verse 11, he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.'" Jesus explains that he describes these parables that he is teaching the multitude in as glimpses into the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, when Jesus tells these parable stories, he sees the kingdom of God. And therefore, these parables not only show the glories of the kingdom, but also in doing, show us how God looks at the kingdom. Now, as to the multitudes following him, Jesus says they don't get it. And I think it's because it was really not the right time for them to understand the mysteries of the gospel, for that to be revealed to the masses. But the apostles would be able to understand. They would be the first to take the gospel, and so they were able to understand what he was saying. But even they had some trouble in understanding these parables. So in this chapter, in chapter 13 of Matthew, Jesus speaks about the following parables. In verses 3 through 9, he speaks of the parable of the sower. In verses 24 through 30, he speaks of the parable of the tares. Verse 31 through 32, the parable of the mustard seed. Verse 33, the parable of the leaven. And verses 47 through 50, the parable of the net. And all of these parables have reference to the kingdom of God. Well, nestled in amongst all these parables are two small parables that contain incredible truth and stand tall among all the other parables in portraying the magnificent, beautiful picture of the glories of the kingdom of God. And I'd like to read those two parables right now. There are two parables that take up three verses. Starting with verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." What strange behavior by these two individuals. Why did these individuals do what they did? What is Jesus trying to tell his disciples and us? We want this morning to look at these two parables and try to find out what Jesus is trying to get across here. So let's go first to the first of these parables, the one found in verse 44. We'll read it again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Jesus here gives us a picture of a man who finds a treasure in a field. We're not told why the man is in the field. Perhaps he's been hired to work in the field. Perhaps he's just traveling through the field. Whatever the case, the man finds a treasure. And in the days when you didn't have banks on every street corner and they were not a part of people's everyday lives, people often would hide their wealth. And not uncommonly even go to bury it in the earth. This was a common occurrence for wealth to be buried. And then it was not uncommon for it to be forgotten, particularly if the one who was burying it maybe had an unfortunate accident or something, and he's never told any his relatives or friends or so forth where he buried it, and all of a sudden he's dead. Well, that treasure that he buried is going to be lost until somebody finds it. Now, such could have been the case in this. We don't know, but it appears that, I mean, this treasure could have been hidden for many years until somebody found it. And so this man stumbles across this treasure. Something caught his eye, a glint of precious metal in the sun, or maybe the shape of a container that opened up slightly, showing the contents inside. Maybe a huge rain had come and washed away soil and exposed these things. But he came upon this and spotted it. A treasure has been found. You know, I think we can all imagine the excitement of that discovery. Imagine walking along somewhere and all of a sudden you see a glint of something in this, and you start digging around and there's a huge treasure there. What every one of us would be excited and overjoyed. So in great joy, this man purposes in his heart to buy the field so he can possess this treasure. But he reasons, I found this treasure. Other people might find it in this current location, so I'm going to dig it up and I'm going to move it to another place. So I'm going to be sure to be the only one who knows where it is. And so he goes and relocates it, and then he goes to the owner of the field and he asks for the price of this field. If the field's not going to come cheap, he's got to sell all that he has to buy this field, which he gladly does. Now, some people have questioned the ethics of this man for purchasing this field. Why doesn't he go to the owner of the field and tell him, I found a treasure here? You know, would that not be the honest thing to do? Well, there's commentators that have said that there was a rabbinic law of the time that provided that if a man finds scattered fruit or money, it belongs to the finder. Now, while that may or may not be the situation here, the man was at least honest enough to go and purchase the land at the owner's price to obtain the field, and he didn't just dig up the treasure and run with it. He at least went and paid the price for the field. But the ethics of the situation here is not the point. The point is that the man found something so valuable that he did whatever he had to do to obtain it. So the next parable is a similar parable. Matthew, and in verse 45 here, Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here Jesus is talking about a pearl merchant who is looking, he's out in his daily routine of trying to find beautiful pearls in order to sell. This is a businessman, and his business is pearls. He's not just a shopkeeper that happens to have a little shop over here and has a few cheap pearls up on the shelf, hoping that somebody will come take them off of him. This guy is looking for fine pearls. He knows pearls. And part of his job is to go out and search for these fine pearls to resell at a profit. Pearls were esteemed as one of the most valuable ornaments in the ancient world. They were extremely costly. They were considered more precious than emeralds, sapphire, or even gold. And they were only worn by the rich. I'm told by one commentator that some Egyptians and Romans even worshipped pearls because they were held in such awe. John, just even the Bible itself speaks of the preciousness of pearls when we go to Revelation, the 21st chapter. In verse 21, in describing the New Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit, part of the description was this. In verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Here the pearls are named with all of these other precious stones and precious materials that are said to make up New Jerusalem. Now that's a pearl. One pearl that would be fashioned into a gate of a city. Even the Bible talks about the preciousness then of pearls. This merchant was always on the lookout for fine pearls. So one day, he found what Jesus called one pearl of great price. He had seen and purchased and sold many pearls. This one, though, was special and surpassed all that he had ever seen. It was the pearl, the one he'd always dreamed about. Now, I think we can kind of identify with that, you know. There's a lot of things, if you're a collector of any kind, you kind of always dream that maybe you're going to run across that incredible piece that you always wanted in your collection and get it at a great bargain, you know. Or, you know, some people here hunt. I can imagine Brother Lyndon, he's out hunting deer. And he turns around and there is the biggest buck he's ever seen or heard of with antlers that surpass all world records. He'd be a little excited, wouldn't he? Hopefully he wouldn't be so excited he'd miss a shot. But but he would be excited. Or maybe you restore old cars. And you run across this guy who's got this old beat up car over here. But you realize, because you know cars, there's not any in the world left like this. You're going to be excited, you know. Or maybe you collect art and you go to a garage sale and you see a painting that you know is going to be worth millions at auction, and they're selling it at a garage sale. You're going to be excited. So we can identify with this guy. He has found the pearl of all pearls because he knows pearls. And so he had to have it. But the price was great. It was much more than he would ever usually spend on a pearl. So how's he going to buy it? He calculates, what do I have to do to get this? And he realizes, I've got to sell everything I have. And so he goes and sells everything he has and purchases the pearl. Now, both of these parables, they're similar, but there's one difference that I'd like to point out. They both find a treasure. The man in the field, he appears to come upon his treasure by accident. He's the epitome of being in the right place at the right time. In an incredible moment of shocking discovery, he finds something that he was not looking for. This treasure, Jesus said, is the kingdom of God. And some people find the kingdom of God even though they're not looking for it. It's our hope that in such cases that those people realize what they've found. But then the pearl merchant was different. He's out looking for pearls. He's searching for fine pearls. And so he surprisingly finds the pearl of his dreams. And while he was searching for what most others would call treasure anyway, I mean, he's out looking for pearls, and the common man would thought one of them would have been great. He found much more than he was looking for. And some people find the kingdom because they long for it, because they're longing for and searching for righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, because God promises they shall be filled. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Well, both of these men, when finding their treasures, immediately desired them. They realized what they had found. And the other thing that was similar between the two is they both went to extreme measures to possess their treasures. The man in the field sold all that he had to possess the treasure, the field that was held the treasure. We don't know what his status was. He obviously was not a poor beggar, or else he never would have been able to come up with the money to buy a field. But he had to exercise extreme measures to buy the field. He sold all that he had. Have you ever seen anything that you wanted so badly that you were willing to sell everything you owned in order to possess it? Everything? Well, the pearl merchant did a similar thing. And we know he had money because he bought and sold pearls for a living. And you have to have some money to buy a pearl in the first place in order to sell it. So he sold everything. Whatever pearl inventory he might still have, whatever transportation he used to go about his business of searching for pearls, his household possessions, the ugly statue his friend gave him as a birthday present, his clothes, even his home. After the purchase was made, all that he had were the clothes on his back, which he might would have sold that too if he'd had to, and one pearl. That's all he had. You know, at first glance, we might think these guys are nuts to sell every single thing you got for something. Even the sentimentally precious possessions, that may not be worth much to somebody else, but they mean the world to you. Would we ever do that? It would have to be something that would be incredibly valuable and precious to make us do that, wouldn't it? These parables are not a picture of renunciation or self-denial. They are a picture of re-evaluation, reorientation of what is valuable in life. When they discover their treasures, their whole perspective changes. And their possessions look, now their possessions that they have otherwise look cheap and insignificant. A new joy and excitement rises within them. And maybe momentarily they regret the loss of some cherished object, but it's only momentarily. They have a choice between all their possessions or the discovered treasures. And they make their choices. To us, the possessions represent all the things which men naturally cling. Money, property, cars, comforts, prestige, good jobs, ambitions. But Jesus is not telling us we have to sacrifice all these things in order to follow him. But if we would just grasp what glories await us in the kingdom, we would gladly sacrifice all these things and realize how fruitless it is to cling to such worldly things. The real treasure of life is the kingdom of God and all that it holds for us, if we would but see it and give up everything for it. So when they sell everything and possess the treasure, what do they have? Now think of this pearl merchant. He's made the deal. He's raised the massive price by selling everything that he has. And now all he has is a pearl. You know, I can imagine him walking out from the place where he's made the deal with the pearl in hand. And I can imagine him walking out and finding some place to sit down and just start looking at this pearl. You know, what's he going to do? He has no home. You can't eat a pearl. What's he going to do? I wonder if he wouldn't just stare at that pearl for a while, fascinated with its beauty, almost infatuated with it, rejoicing in the incredible investment he just made. When I think about this, I tend to think of the scenes in the Lord of the Ring trilogy, where the creature Gollum gets the ring of power and looks at it and says, "My precious." You know, I kind of look at this guy. He's so obsessed to sell everything he's got. He's obsessed with a pearl. Some may call this merchant crazy, but they fail to see the real issue. And that is the pearl, or also in the case of the treasure in the field, are they worth it? So what is the key to these parables? They are not pictures of sacrifice. Jesus is not teaching the concept that we have to sacrifice all these things in order to follow him. There's a much different message that's intended. Neither is it a moral lesson on buying and selling or making monetary profit. Here then is the key. It's found in the word value. Value is an important part of our everyday lives. If we buy a house, we expect the value of that house to be at least the same as the price. Same with a car. And we get very excited if the value we receive is greater than the price that we pay. It's when we see value that we realize that what we have bought is worth the price we pay. So these men in these two parables are no different, except their situations are much more radical. When the man discovers the treasure in the field, his whole perspective of life changes. He has discovered something much more valuable than his possessions. He has a choice: all of his possessions or the treasure field. To him, the choice is easy because he chooses that of greater value. But something very important has happened. We see now a man who has reevaluated his life. What once was important is no longer important. What once was valuable is no longer valuable. Something has taken over his life. The same with the pearl merchant. Previously, he looked for fine pearls, which no doubt provided his living. But he comes across this incredible pearl, and his life changes. No longer will fine pearls do. They pale in comparison to this great pearl. In fact, everything he owns pales in comparison to this great pearl. So he also makes his choice and chooses that of greater value, of drastically greater value. So what does this mean to us? Remember, in the parables, we see how God looks at the kingdom. So when Jesus says the kingdom is like a man finding a treasure in the field, or selling all he has to possess the field, or finding this pearl of great price and selling all that you have to possess it. He's telling us when we find the kingdom, we will realize, and we realize what we have, we will realize that all that we have and that all the world offers pales in comparison to this, the incredible blessings, value, and power that the kingdom offers. We will gladly give up all those things to possess it, to possess the kingdom, because the kingdom is the ultimate bargain. There is nothing that compares to it in value. No matter what price we pay, it can never match the value of the kingdom. When we catch a glimpse of this heavenly treasure and that heavenly pearl, we should count all else as of no value and pursue that which is priceless with everything that we are. But how much do we value our possessions and ambitions? I think that's determined by how real heavenly treasures are to us, how real the kingdom of God is to us. We can see that heavenly treasure, the kingdom. We see that it's worth and has the great value, but we also can be so quick to choose earthly treasure and forget the greater treasure. The key is where we place our hearts. Jesus said earlier in this book, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our hearts are connected to what we treasure the most. If we see, like these men in the parables, that the kingdom of God is the real treasure in life, then that's where our hearts are going to be. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And then he says, "All that we need will be added to us," in Matthew 6 and verse 33. And that's what the men in these parables did. They were obsessed with purchasing their treasures at all cost. We, as God's people, need to have a lifelong, magnificent obsession with the kingdom and the righteousness of God. We must then make the decision. We see the heavenly glories. Are we going to pursue them with everything that we are? Are we going to be content with what the world offers? We have to realize that the grace of God is more valuable than all the possessions on earth. That the forgiveness of sins is more valuable than all the money on earth. That the love of God is more valuable than all the accomplishments that mankind can ever make. That being in the family of God is more valuable than all the prestige on earth. That being in the church, the kingdom of God, is more valuable than any organization that man can attain to. We must see the value and pursue after it, because Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven will be filled with those who see the value of the kingdom and change their lives in order to possess it. That's what he tells us with these parables. And now it's up to us to make sure we grasp hold of this treasure with all that we are. Have you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you want to be part of the kingdom, you must obey the gospel and come into Christ, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing him before man, and then being buried in baptism to rise and walk in a newness of life. When we grasp hold of the kingdom, and we obey the gospel, that's when the new life starts. We reorient our lives to follow after the true treasure of life, and that's the treasure found in the kingdom of God. If you've done this, but the things of this world have carried you away, or you've done something that needs to be made right in front of this congregation, you have an opportunity to make that right with God and come repenting and ask for prayer. If there's someone that finds himself in either category, won't you come as we stand and sing?